This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Say God bless America around here. We say God bless America. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. And the show is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest organization of atheists and agnostics. And we keep working to separate religion and government and to educate the public about the views of those of us who pick none of the above.
And we'll have one of those none of the aboves as a guest later in the show. We'll have a fascinating guest, William Lobdell, whose new book is coming out in March.
And I just read a book, and it's a fun read. It's called Losing My Religion, How I Lost My Faith, Reporting on Religion in America, and Found Unexpected Peace.
And if you're a real regular listener, you might remember William Lobdell. I think we interviewed him back in 07.
August of 07, just after his story came out.
He wrote a story for the LA Times outing himself as an atheist religion reporter. But he's written this book in the meantime. And before we get to that interview, there is a lot to talk about on today's show. But first, Dan, you've been super busy on the road lately for Free Thought, working especially with college students. Can you tell us about your latest tour?
Well, in the last show, I talked about D.C. and Virginia and South Carolina, and I just got back last night from a week in California. I spoke at UCLA, at UC Irvine. I spoke at California Lutheran College. Believe it or not, there's a free thought group there. It's a very liberal religious school. In fact, about a third of the students are non-affiliated, and they were one of the most exciting bunches. And I spoke at Saddleback College, not the Saddleback Church where Warren is. But
was that a public university?
Yeah, it is a public community college, Saddleback College. And they have a brand new free thought group there, including some young students from a high school free thought group near Saddleback College. They showed up all excited to be a part of this movement of non-belief in the country. And as I travel the country, I notice that there's this spontaneous growth of sort of voluntary young people all over the country just wanting to be a part of this new secular movement. And it's really exciting. All the demographics show that the least religious part of America right now are the 20-somethings. The college age to 20-somethings are about a quarter to almost a third of them are thoroughly secular and staying that way. So,
and they'll have to look up our student essay competition, which we are just announcing this month, for both seniors who are college-bound in the fall, high school seniors, and ongoing college students.
I have to say, I'm really encouraged. These students are smart and moral and caring and excited. I think there's real hope for the future, for the secular future of America.
And we do have to report that for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the big news last week was that our Praise Darwin Evolve Beyond Belief billboard was stolen in Ohio. And someone had to have like a 32-foot ladder. There had to have been two of them. It was illuminated, and they did it on Darwin's birthday. This billboard was placed to commemorate the bicentennial Darwin's birth, and they stole the billboard on February 12th in suburban Columbus, Ohio.
And that was a vinyl one, right? They must have got up with a razor cutter to cut that thing down. So what happened?
Well, and what happened is we reported it to the police, and luckily the billboard company has quickly replaced it, and it's back up. So there's no stopping evolution.
So praise God. Well, talk about symbol.
Praise what? Praise Darwin.
Praise Darwin. Yeah, don't praise God. Praise Darwin. Talk about symbolism, right? That on Darwin's birthday itself, they would commit a crime to show how good religion is. And we still have others of those signs, the Praise Darwin signs for the month of February, up in other towns, including Dover, Pennsylvania, which you know was where the intelligent design trial was, and in Dayton, Tennessee, which most listeners will recognize as the home of the famous Scopes trial There's also one in Madison, Wisconsin, and in Grand Junction, Colorado.
And before we get to the heavier stuff, I thought it would be fun to replay Bill Maher's remarks at the Academy Awards last Sunday, and maybe you caught it.
Now, as a producer and star of a documentary of my own this year, the one about religion that didn't get nominated, I know it's a touchy subject, but someday we all do have to confront the notion that our silly gods cost the world too greatly. But there I go, ruining the ending.
Boy, what a great thing for him to say. Maher's movie, Bill Maher's movie, is called Religious, and I think that should be available for sale and for rent coming up this month, so don't miss it.
Now, we need to comment briefly on the Supreme Court ruling this past Wednesday, which you've read about, in which the court ruled unanimously that a small alternative religious group is not to be given equal time to place its religious marker up after the city has placed a Ten Commandments marker up.
And the ruling is really bizarre. It's centered on free speech rather than on the establishment of religion. So this was really a confusing and a messy case.
And Dan, you happened to tour the Summum, is that what it's called? Summum Religion?
Summum, S-U-M-M-U-M, Summum Religion.
In Salt Lake City. And what can you tell us about that religion?
Well, it's just this little tiny kind of fringe group. In fact, the whole thing is in this guy's garage. He's got these sort of Egyptian pyramids with these sort of crystals and mummification techniques. And he has these seven aphorisms, which—
And that's what they wanted to put up in this park.
Instead of the Ten Commandments, yeah, the seven aphorisms.
The Fraternal Order of Eagles has caused innumerable state church entanglements and problems for us with its campaign to put up graven images of the Ten Commandments.
They want to put up a graven image, but haven't they read the Second Commandment?
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
That's from Cecil B. DeMille's movie, Ten Commandments. And so 50 years ago, the Fraternal Order of Eagles erected this granite Ten Commandments tablet in Pioneer Park in Pleasant Grove City, Utah, and the Summum, claiming their seven aphorisms were also given to Moses by God on Mount Sinai.
Well, I didn't see that in the movie. Was that there?
They asked the city to let them donate a tablet of their seven aphorisms, and the city refused. But they were winning in their lawsuit. The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver had ruled that the city couldn't allow some privately donated displays in its public park while rejecting others.
Isn't it funny? The current Supreme Court seems to be siding with religion more these days. Last week, speaking for the court, Justice Alito, who's the guy who replaced Sandra Day O'Connor, wrote the decision for the Supreme Court saying that governments can indeed do this.
So it's a bizarre decision because Alito ruled that once the monument is donated to the government becomes the owner. So very clearly, if the government owns the monument, it's government speech. And if the government favors Judeo-Christian speech over other types of religious or non-religious views, this is endorsement of religion, of one religion over another. And Alito even said the monuments cannot be used as a subterfuge for favoring certain private speakers over others based on viewpoint. And yet this is precisely what the city of Pleasant View has done in Utah.
It looks like they're sidestepping the real issue. The strangest argument Alito made was to point to the mosaic of the word imagine that was donated in memory of John Lennon to New York Central Park. And the opinion, his opinion actually cites the lyrics of John Lennon's song.
I think he doesn't like them. He's trying to say, see, there's non-religious speech. So for now, we have had two very troubling decisions by the Supreme Court approving Ten Commandments on public land, on government property. So in America, where the Bill of Rights is supposed to ensure that Americans can have any god they like, or as many gods as they like, or
no gods at all.
Instead, here we have the government endorsing one religious view.
I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
That's the first commandment.
Yeah, the first commandment. Sounds like God has a cold, doesn't it? And that was from the movie, yes, Cecil B. DeMille movie, The Ten Commandments. And speaking of religion and government in Utah and creationism and the religious war against gay rights, they're all represented by a Utah state senator whose outrageous remarks have been in the news in February. State Senator Chris, how do you say that name? Buttars? B-U-T-T-A-R.
However you want to say it, Dan.
a Republican and a Mormon, he sought to get so-called intelligent design in the public schools. He's wanted to require teachers to read an anti-evolution statement, such as the one that was invalidated in that court battle over intelligent design in Dover, Pennsylvania.
Buttars gave a recent interview in which he called gays the greatest threat to America.
They're probably the greatest threat to America going down, I know. But I don't care. What is the morals of a gay person? You can't answer that. Because anything goes. They want to talk about being nice. They're the meanest buggers I've ever seen. Homosexuality will always be a sexual perversion. And you say that around here now and everybody goes nuts.
So the Human Rights Campaign has called on Utah's Senate president to publicly condemn Senator Buttar's remarks, pointing out this kind of rhetoric creates an atmosphere of hatred that incites violence against LGBT Americans.
The Mormon Church has led the religious war against gay rights. We saw the role they played in bankrolling the Proposition 8 campaign in California. Think of all the harm that religion creates.
And Dan, you used to be an evangelical minister, used to be a preacher, and you were raised in a hyper-religious household. And then you, as you put it in your first book, lost faith in faith. And gradually, your parents, and your mother in particular, followed suit. And what did she tell you when she finally told you she was an atheist?
My mom, Patsy Barker, she told a reporter that when she gave up on religion, she said, "I don't have to hate anymore."
And Richard Dawkins was particularly struck by that remark when he was reviewing your new book, Godless, and he used that remark in his very eloquent preface to your book.
Atheism means we don't have to hate. Isn't that really nice?
Free Thought Radio will be back in a jiffy to talk with former religion reporter William Lobdell about his new book, Losing My Religion. And we'll also have an update on religion in the Obama administration, and we hope time to debut a Brazilian take on the song Beware of Dogma.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Last week, we thoroughly critiqued President Obama's announcement at the National Prayer Breakfast that he is continuing, not rescinding, Bush's faith-based initiatives, that he's keeping a faith-based office in the White House and at about 11 agencies.
The disturbing news this week comes from reporter Dan Gilgoff with U.S. News & World Report, who says that in a departure from previous presidents, Barack Obama is opening public presidential rallies with invocations and prayers that have been commissioned and vetted by the White House. When Obama recently spoke in Elkhart, Indiana, for example, before a nationally televised town hall meeting to promote his economic stimulus plan, Obama decided to open the event with a prayer. And he sought out a conservative Republican to give that prayer, and the White House Office of Faith-Based Liaison vetted it. The U.S. News & World Report said that although prayer is commonplace at presidential inaugurations and at certain events, the idea of the president commissioning and vetting prayer for presidential rallies is unprecedented in modern history.
So it's proper to take alarm, as James Madison said, with the first experiment on our liberties. This establishes religion. It mixes church and state. And because the White House is vetting the prayers, this should distress even true believers. It's government control of religious speech. It's a loser idea. If you haven't yet contacted the White House or protest the faith-based office and policies, add this practices to the concerns that you discuss. Call them at 202-456-1111, 202-456-1111, or email whitehouse.gov.
We have a message for President Barack Obama and every public official who seeks to intertwine religion and our civil secular government. And that message is Beware of Dogma. And Dan, you wrote this song at my request, a tango, and the words, and now you've had the compliment of having a well-known Brazilian vocalist, a singer and dancer, record a version. And who is that?
Her name is Sandra Belé from the northeast of Brazil. And she doesn't know English, but she loves the song. They love the tango. And Farias is playing the guitar.
Beware of
fight, beware of dogma. It will ignite a holy war by itself. Beware of dogma, you'll trap your mind, religious dogma. You'll make you blind, beware of dogma. It's not designed to let you think for yourself. If you let it out in the universe, there will be no doubt, everything is wrong. Beware of dogma, don't let it loose, the anti-dogma. You reproduce the pure dogma. There's no excuse for ignorance anymore.
That is Sandra Belay. Sandra Belay singing Beware of Dogma from Brazil. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We'll be back after the break for the second half of the show to talk with William Lobdell about how he lost his religion, covering the religion beat for the Los Angeles Times.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors. Get in there, you atheist.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion.
And that's R.E.M. singing the song Losing My Religion, which we'll be talking about today.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And we have on the phone with us from California, William Lobdell. He's been a journalist for 25 years. He's won many state and national awards, and in particular for many years was the religion reporter for the Los Angeles Times. He left the Times last year, and he's on the visiting faculty at the University of California in Irvine.
We talked with Bill about a year ago, or I guess it was 2 years ago, and since that time he's written a fantastic new book, hot off the press, called Losing My Religion, How I Lost My Faith Reporting on Religion in America and Found Unexpected Peace. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
I read your book. It's one of the most enjoyable books I've read in a long time. Your story is so immediate and so powerful, and I was wondering how it was going to turn out. You know, you were taking two contradictory paths at the same time, but tell us briefly. You were the religion reporter for the LA Times, and then you had some crises in there, and you lost your faith.
Yeah, I did. I thought God had put me in that job. I was a evangelical Christian, very devout, you know, church twice a week, Bible study, et cetera. And I thought the way that the media handled religion didn't reflect it accurately. And so I prayed for that job, got the job, and for a while it was a honeymoon. And but then I started to, I'm an investigative reporter by trade, and I started to investigate different religions, different leaders, all kinds of things. There's no shortage, I found out rather quickly. And as I was doing that, doubt started to seep into me. And what I thought was an ironclad faith suddenly was coming apart.
And you reported a lot of good of religion, and then you reported some of the scandals as well.
I did, yeah. I if you look at the body of my work, the vast majority of it is what would be classified as positive stories. But it was the negative stories and the behaviors I saw that made me think, you know, it didn't even make me think, it made me feel like I was losing my faith, and that's what was really happening. But I was so desperate to keep it that I try to gather evidence to bolster up my sagging beliefs. But the more I looked, truly looked for evidence, the less I found, and so it just all kind of disappeared in quicksand.
How long was this process for you?
I'm not a fast learner, so I would say, when looking back on it, I think I lost my faith in 2002. That's when I stopped going to church, but I really couldn't come to grips with it, and I probably spent a good 4 years before I admitted to myself that I was an atheist, and then it took another year to kind of come out of the closet to family and friends.
But you were what do you call it, in training or in the process of joining the Catholic Church during this time?
Yeah, I was. I started at a evangelical mega church, and the depth of it wasn't what I desired, and I really like the depth and breadth of the Catholic Church. So I was it was bizarre looking back at it, but during the daytime, and it also speaks to how we can suspend our beliefs and our rationality, but in the daytime, I'm talking to hundreds of victims and lying bishops and their lawyers and doing all the work on the Catholic sex scandal. And then at night and on the weekends, I'm in classes to become a Catholic.
Hmm. Yeah, I told you when we scheduled this interview that I was at a disadvantage because I hadn't finished your book, but I read about, I don't know, five chapters. I started kind of in the middle,
right,
with the sex scandals. Father, yeah. Hollywood, for example, was that the first case that you covered with the Catholic Church?
Yeah, there's a guy named Father Hollywood. He was the most dynamic, charismatic priest in the Diocese of Orange in Orange County, California. He raised $27 million to build a high school, basically single-handedly raised that money. And like a lot of, we have to say alleged because he's never been proven in law, but like a lot of alleged pedophiles, he was just completely charming and gracious and had the whole county wrapped around his finger. And I covered a story about they had to pay out $5.2 million to a single victim. It was the largest payout in Catholic history at the time. And I didn't understand really the dynamics of it until I met with the victims. And once I met with the victims and their parents, it was so sickening what these guys did, and especially the bishops that left these guys in place and let them prey on literally thousands of kids over last five decades. It just was, at that point, it's like, okay, I've got to help expose this.
Now, our organization has a newspaper, Free Thought Today, and we've been running black-collar crime blotters since about 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this was a tradition, and even in the 19th century, a lot of Free Thought publications were following criminal actions, usually sexual criminal actions by ministers and priests. So it turns out it's like this, I guess, legacy. But what struck me was that, you know, what we do is a blotter based on what's appearing usually in daily newspapers. And you wrote something very fascinating about the censorship that you encountered in writing up what had happened to the victims, how the editors would censor the details.
Yeah, you know, I always thought that if readers and parishioners, if they really read what was happening to these kids versus a molestation that almost sounds, you know, kind of gentle or a fondling or, you know, whatever those terms are. I mean, these kids were...
Inappropriate touching, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, boundary violation. There's a lot of those things. But my editors, you know, they wanted me to use molested or sexually abused. And in fact, most of the kids I was writing about were raped and worse. And
some reference to a little girl and the priest using some implement from the altar.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think I put this in the book, but you know, one priest was sodomizing a kid on the altar, and the kid had an accident, and the priest screamed at him to clean it up, and then once it was cleaned up, he proceeded to finish up. And if people knew the truth of what was going on, the real truth, I think they would react much differently. I'd hope they'd react much differently.
Because you were pointing out that when Schwarzenegger was covered, the remarks, lewd remarks that he was making, was covered by the LA Times. They didn't censor that.
No, we're adults basically read newspapers, and I thought that was good to do for Schwarzenegger. But I think for some reason, people, even editors who are fairly godless as a group, don't want to offend people by exposing these Catholic priests to what they really did for what they really did.
One of the stories, a lot of these stories hit me right between the eyes, and not just Catholics, but one of the stories that really got to me was, I think, the woman in Portland who was impregnated when she was a younger woman by the priest, and then the priest pleaded poverty, and she's living in poverty herself and has an autistic child or something. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, this was one of my last stories because I just couldn't take it anymore. It was in Portland, and this priest is a seminarian, got this woman pregnant. His order knew about it, but still allowed him to go in and take a vow of poverty, which leaves no support for the kid. Kid was very sickly. She tried to get some support, and this guy got up on the stand, and he was a pastor of a huge church in Southern California, and he got up on the stand, and he was smug, laughing about it. This is all I have. This is all I own in my clothes. His order paid for this incredibly good attorney to rip this woman to shreds. She couldn't afford attorney, so she had to defend herself, and she was horrible at it. And so for 3 hours this went on, and finally the judge said, I'd like to say I'd give you some money, but he doesn't have any money, and I can't order his order to give you money, so you're out of luck. And the one joy you have as a reporter is they didn't know I was in the courtroom, and so they walked out all smiling, laughing, and I stood at the doorway and said, Father, I'm Bill Abdel with the Los Angeles Times. Can you tell me why you don't want to pay any money for your son? And oh my God, the lawyer just went crazy and started yelling at me that I shouldn't have been in that courtroom. And I pointed out that it's a public courtroom. And then she went back into the judge, tried to get the whole case sealed. And the good news of that case is that the order, it ran on the front page of the Times, so the order was so shamed that they gave her a nice settlement after just being bombarded with angry emails.
Well, that's to your great credit.
Isn't that the case where the diocese said it was her fault because she didn't use birth control?
Yeah, that was one of the, and that's going to be interesting, and that gets widely spread in my book, because the person that okayed that argument is William Leveda, and he is now basically second in charge, in the second most important position in the Vatican. He's a cardinal, and he's in the position that Ratzinger, the Pope, now Pope, was in before he got elevated.
We have to take a break here, Bill. I'm Dan Barker. We're talking with William Lobdell, author of Losing My Religion, and I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back to finish talking with William Lobdell.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. It ain't necessarily so.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. And we're talking with William Lobdell. And his brand new book just hit the stores this week. It's called Losing My Religion, How I Lost My Faith Reporting on Religion in America and Found Unexpected Peace. Now, in the last segment, Bill, we were talking about the scandals that contributed to your loss of faith. But it wasn't totally that. It wasn't. You know, people would say, well, you can't blame Christianity for the sins of some of its extreme sinners, right?
Yeah, that's a big criticism I get. But it wasn't just that. I started to try to collect evidence to show my faith was real. And I found out, I decided, well, if Christianity was real, Christians would act differently than atheists. And so I looked at studies along those lines. And in fact, they're very similar in behaviors. And then I thought, well, you know, we always pray. There's got to be some evidence that prayer works, scientific evidence. And it depressingly took me about 2 seconds to find there's not a single study. And in fact, there's one study that shows that if you know you're being prayed for, it puts pressure on you and it could harm you. And then, you know, the Bible, when I look at it through fresh eyes, I always looked at it through kind of apologetics eyes, Christian apologetics, and looking at it through fresh eyes, it just seemed just ridiculous. And I was almost embarrassed that I once believed this stuff so much. And so it was that accumulation of lack of evidence of that Christianity was real and faith was real that I had to finally, after, you know, 4 years, say, you know what, I just don't believe this, and I can't keep wishing it was so. It's just not so.
I love that one line in your book where you said the doubts were sticking to you like Velcro, and they wouldn't go away.
Yeah, I couldn't get rid of them. I tried everything. I tried prayer, and then all of a sudden prayer seemed like I was talking to myself like a mental patient. I tried all kinds of things, and it just didn't work. And my friends, everybody had the secret recipe. And when my story first came out in the LA Times, my entire desk was filled with this mountain of material that would get me to believe again, sent by well-meaning readers.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
We've been getting it for 20 years.
Well, it's an intellectual conclusion that you've reached.
It is, and you know, it feels good because it feels like this is the peace that I have in my title is I didn't think being an atheist would bring me peace. I thought it'd bring me turmoil and this kind of tragic life, and it's been just the opposite. It's given me truth. It's giving me a sense of each day is very important because I don't have eternity to fall back on. So I think I'm living my life better now than I was before. And I'm not tortured with these questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? It's, you know, it's just because that's nature, that's the randomness of the universe, and I don't have to sit there and try to construct explanations of why this happened.
You said part of the process there was when you went to see Julia Sweeney's play, sort of in the middle or toward the end of that process. And we've had Julia on this show, her play Letting Go of God, and she was Catholic like you, and that struck a bell with you.
Yeah, it really did. I went to this play. It was when I was really questioning my faith, sort of at the end of my my struggle to give up my faith, or I don't know if it's a struggle to become an atheist, whatever, however you want to term it. And it was like she was speaking right. And if anybody out there wants to get a CD of that play, it's just amazing.
We sell it at FFRF.org. It's now a DVD.
There you go.
So,
there you go. Yeah.
Have you met Julia? Does she know about this?
She does. Yeah.
That's good.
I had a contact her because I wanted to use some material from her play, and she's super nice. And I was kind of nervous talking to her because she's, you know, celebrity. But
she was probably thrilled.
I told her that her play changed my life because here's this woman that is thoughtful, caring, funny, and living a nice life and not troubled by, you know, that we're going to be dead forever. And I just thought, I was literally on the edge of my seat the whole time. I'm like, oh my God, someone's talking to me. I didn't know about you guys. I didn't know. One of the reasons why I wrote the book is one of my premises is I think all people have doubts. I think most people don't even believe their faith. It's reflected in their actions. They just don't believe it. And for someone to come out and say, look, here's my story, I'm okay, I think is important.
Yeah, it is. Well, and you too, you coming out and saying what you say, it's credible. You've paid your dues, you've done your homework, and you're not just some angry person who doesn't want to believe. Thank you, Bill, for a wonderful book and an enjoyable interview. And the book is on Amazon.com, and it's in bookstores this week.
Yes.
And it's called
Losing My Religion.
Losing My Religion, How I Lost My Faith, Reporting on Religion in America and Found Unexpected Peace. Thank you for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
All of the past shows you can listen to archived at our website, ffrf.org/radio. And you can sign up to podcast. You can go to iTunes, and you can just sign up to podcast at iTunes, and you can hear all 150 of these last shows.
And we invite you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which produces Free Thought Radio, makes it possible to be broadcasting on more than 20 stations and podcasting. Ask for more information at ffrf.org. Ask for a sample copy of the March issue of Free Thought Today. You can phone 1-800-335-4021 for that sample copy, or ask at ffrf.org, or better yet, just join us and we'll send you 10 issues a year of that newspaper. And we thank you for joining us today. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.